الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد. So we have finished the discussion on the مرفوع حديث, and we looked at different types of مرفوع حديث, and also we looked at حديث which is مرفوع حكما. We also looked at the different ألفاظ and the صيغة that the صحابيز use. That is also and what is the status of those. Now we go on to the second one, which is the موقوف. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أو ينتهي غاية الإسناد إلى الصحابي كذلك, أي مثل ما تقدم في كون اللفظ يقتضي التصريح بأن المنقول هو من قول الصحابي أو من فعله أو من تقريره. Oh, the second type, you know, we're talking about number one was here. إما أن ينتهي إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And then many, many pages later, he says, أو ينتهي غاية الإسناد إلى الصحابي. Or the إسناد ends with the صحابي in a similar fashion. In what fashion? مثل ما تقدم. In the manner that we have already discussed, في كون اللفظ يقتضي التصريح, that the word requires a clear indication that what is manqul, what is narrated, is from the sahabi's words or from his fa'al or from his tacit approvals, right? That there needs to be tasrih. Yep. عن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال, وقال عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه. There needs to be تصريح, whether it's his فعل, it is his تقرير, or it is his قول. ولا يجيء فيه جميع ما تقدم بل معظمه. So he's basically doing sharh on his own ibarat, and he says not everything that has passed in the discussion on مرفوع will come here, بل معظمه, but most of it. والتشبيه لا تشترط فيه المساواة من كل جهة. And تشبيه does not necessitate that there has to be equality and sameness from all perspective. Yeah. Now remember that, I don't know if I mentioned this, but Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani, by tabi'ah, by his nature, he's actually a poet. Okay. Although by training he's a muhaddith, but by tabi'ah he's actually a poet, and he's got a lot of diwans of poetry as well, which are not very famous, but he does. So he, like some fuqaha who don't really know the language correctly, or they do know the language but they don't have the the softness of the language, it's very instrumental. Imam Ibn Hajar is very nuanced in this, so he is basically alluding us to a rule of Arabic that just because there is tashbih, simile does not necessitate that there has to be from every single aspect somebody has to be same. So when I say Umar kal Asad, does it necessarily mean that Umar has to have four legs? Yeah. So, but still the tashbih is correct without it being four legs. So similarly, this is what he says, أَوْ يَنْتَهِي غَايَةُ الْإِسْنَادِ إِلَى السَّحَابِ كَذَلِكَ. So all of this here that we've got is he's basically doing tashrih of what he means by kazalika. He says kazalika means in the same manner, but not everything of the marfu will apply here, because just because we have given a simile does not necessarily mean that the simile has to apply in everything. So what does not apply here? He says the hukman does not apply. So remember we said that a sahabi, even if a sahabi narrates a hadith, but if it is hukman, it can be hukman a hadith with the three conditions: that the sahabi is not known to have taken from the Israiliyat, it is not something which is ijtihadi, and the third one is it is not something which can be explained away by lugha. If those three conditions meet, then we say that this hadith is hukman marfu. But when it comes to qawlu sahabi, we only take the tasrih of the sahabi to be the call of the Sahabi, we don't actually accept anything which is قول of Sahabi or فعل of Sahabi or تقرير of Sahabi حكمًا. Yeah, there's no such thing. So this hukman is specifically for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we are extrapolating laws. So this is what he's saying. وَلَا يَجِئُ فِيهِ جَمِيعُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ بَلْ مَعْظَمَهُ وَالتَّشْبِيهُ لَا تُشْتَرُطُ فِي الْمُسَاوَى مِنْ كُلِّ جِهَةٍ. Does that make sense?
Yes.
وَلَمَّا كَانَ هَذَا الْمُخْتَصَرَ شَامِلًا لِجَمِيعِ أَنْوَاعِ عُلُومِ الْحَدِيثِ اسْتَرَدْتُ مِنْهُ إِلَى تَعْرِيفِ السَّحَابِ مَا هُوَ. So he says, when this مُخْتَصَر is inclusive of all of the types of عُلُومُ الْحَدِيثِ, all of the types of عُلُومُ الْحَدِيثِ, I decided to explain, استردتُ منه. I decided to explain also the ta'arif of the definition of the Sahabi, ma huwa, who is he? فَقُلْتُ. So he's basically saying, somebody might say, well, you don't need to define a Sahabi, this is a مُخْتَصَر. But he's saying, well, since I've decided to kind of be exhaustive and inclusive of all of the different types of ulum al-hadith, then I might as well define what the Sahabi is. One of the things you have to understand is when we talk about anwa' or ulum al-hadith, right? By anwa' ulum al-hadith, we don't really mean that there are different sciences. All we basically mean is the 165 chapters that Imam Ibn Salah has mentioned. This is what we mean by Anwa' Ulum al-Hadith. You know, they're not different sciences. They're actually, in fact, some of the later stuff, Al-Mu'talaf, Al-Muftaraq, and all of these stuff, these are actually names of books written by Khatib al-Baghdadi. And we just turn them into a type itself. So that's just by and by. فَقُلْتُ, I said, وَهُوَ مَنْ لَقِيَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مُؤْمِنًا بِهِ. The Sahabi is the one who has met the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ believing in him. وَمَاتَ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ, and he died on Islam. وَلَوْ تَخَلَّلَتْ رِدَّةٌ فِي الْأَصَحِّ, even though if that was interrupted with by ridda, apostasy, according to the most sahih opinion. So what is the condition? Who met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, believed in him, died on Islam, and what happens in the middle, whether he has done takhallalat ridda, whether he became a non-Muslim or not, doesn't really matter. It's like zakat. Once you're sahibun nisab, then it doesn't matter within that year whatever kind of money comes. You know, you still need to do 1 year from the time that you're sahibun nisab and not from the new money. So similarly here, as long as the person has seen the Prophet Islam, became a Muslim, and then died in Islam, it doesn't matter what happened in between. Yeah, this is actually the Shafi'i position. Imam Mulla Ali Qari rahmatullahi alayhi, who is the sharih of this Nukhbatul Fikr, Nuzhatul Nadhr, he's the sharih of Nuzhatul Nadhr, he takes Allama Qasim ibn Qutlubgha and Allama ibn al-Hambali, the author of Qaful Athar, to task. So if you want to kind of see a Hanafi version of the Nuzhatun Nadhar, then the book that you need to study is called Qaful Athar, whose name confusingly is Ibn al-Hambali, but he's actually Hanafi. Yeah, so Ibn al-Hanbali's Qaful Athar, the example of that will be like if you studied the Muwatta of Imam Malik, and then you studied the Muwatta of Imam Muhammad, The motto of Imam Muhammad is nothing more than the motto of Imam Malik bi riwayat Imam Muhammad al-Shaybani. What Imam Muhammad does is he makes his notes and he makes his dissension from Imam Malik, saying, and according to Abu Hanifa, it's like this, and Imam Abu Hanifa doesn't agree with this. Right, so he puts his notes. So similarly, the Qaful Athar is like a commentary on the Nuzha, and then also he gives the Hanafi positions there as well. Similarly, Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani's student, Qasim Ibn Qutlubgha, who himself is a muhaddith, is a faqih, Qasim Ibn Qutlubgha is also the sharih of Quduri, he's also the sharih of Hidayah, he's also the sharih of Sahih al-Bukhari, has also written a sharah on the sharah on the Nuzhatun Nadhar, and in there, you know, he does a lot of istidrak on Hafiz Ibn Hajar, and he says, well, he made a mistake here, and this isn't, it's like this. He's actually quite a staunch critic. However, in this particular instance, he did not mention any of the Hanafi position, and Imam Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullahi alayhi takes both of them to task, and he says it is ajib that the sharih, the Hanafi sharih, and specifically he's talking about Qasim ibn Qutlubgha, they did not pinpoint that this is a Shafi'i and this is not according to the Hanafi madhab. So yes, according to the Hanafis, ridda is muhbitul a'mal. So if a person becomes a murtad and then he becomes a Muslim again, but by that time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has died, then this person is no longer a sahabi. So then, because of these differences in definition and aqidah, you will have that will definitely have a difference in basically the mas'ala. For example, Abdullah ibn Abi Sarah was a katib of Wahi. He had a crisis of faith during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he became a murtad, and then only after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away he did tawbah, and he was involved in the fatah and became a Muslim, and was involved in doing fatah of Egypt with Sayyidina Amr ibn As. The Shafi'i's Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayh includes him in the names of the those who have in al-Isaba, those who are from the Sahabis, but the Ahnaf don't accept him to be from the Sahabi. So obviously, because of this definitional difference, you will get a difference in, you know, the usul as well, and the furu'. Yeah. Now what he's going to do is he's going to do
a quick question. So if the person becomes a murtad, and then by the time he does tawbah and accepts it, comes back into the fold of Islam, the Prophet ﷺ has passed away. So according to the Hanafis, he loses the Sahabi status. What if he becomes returns to Islam during the life of the Prophet but never meets the Prophet again? Is that a condition somehow where he has to meet the Prophet again to regain that status?
So Imam Ibn Hajar here, he basically talks about al-liqa. What does liqa mean? Wal muradu bil liqa'i ma huwa a'am. It is much more general than just meeting. Min al mujalasa wal mumashat wa wusul ahadihima ila al-akhar wa illam yukalimuhu wa yadkhul fihi ru'yatu ahadihima al-akhar sawa'un kana dhalika bi nafsihi am bi ghayrihi. So he's basically saying, well, if he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or if he sat in the majlis of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or, you know, some way he got to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is enough. You know, it doesn't actually need to kind of meet him. The mujalasa, sit in the same majlis, while mumasha, walk in the same gathering, or one of them reaches the other, wa illam yukalimu, even if they do not touch, even if they do not talk, wa yadkhul fihi, similarly, ru'yatu ahadihim al-akhar, one seeing the other, sawa'un kana dhalika bi nafsihi, whether that is by himself, am bi khayrihi, or someone else making him see. So this is the example of, this is like a child. A child is being carried by the father, and the father is the one that is making him see the sahabi. So I think they keep it quite broad, as long as he had some kind of close contact with the Prophet ﷺ, because all of these things are talking about close contact, isn't it? Mujalasa, Mumasha, or Ru'ya. Some kind of close contact, even though if they did not talk, even if they did not physically meet one-to-one. All of this comes under Sohba. Yeah, does that make sense?
It does. And this might be not even applicable. Maybe it hasn't actually ever happened, but in theory, if somebody, say for example, he was in Medina, saw the Prophet, met the Prophet in whatever circumstances, is considered a Sahabi, turned away from Islam, and then migrated somewhere else, and then accepted Islam during the life of the Prophet, but he never came back to see him again, would he still be considered a Sahabi?
So according to the Ahnaf, according to the Ahnaf, we need to basically see what the rules of liqa is, but I don't think according to the Ahnaf he will be considered a Sahabi. According to the Shafis, he will be considered a Sahabi.
Okay.
Yeah. Because according to the Ahnaf, the irtidad is muhbitul amal, muhbitul suhba, and therefore he needs to basically maintain that suhbah again. And the reason why I mention this is because there are many, many people who, and later on he's going to talk about this, the Mukhadrameen, like Abu Uthman al-Nahdi, who basically found Jahiliyyah and found Islam and lived after the Prophet ﷺ. They were Muslim during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, but they never met the Prophet. These are not seen as Sahabis. These are Tabi'is. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So we have somebody like Ubaidullah ibn Jahsh, former husband of Ummi Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha. He became a Christian in Habasha during the migration. Similarly, Abdullah ibn Khattal became a murtad, went to Mecca, and Prophet gave order to kill him. Similarly, Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, Maqis ibn Sababa, Abdullah ibn Abi Sarah, Ash'as ibn Qais from Kinda became a murtad during the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Ibn Hajar mentions him afterwards. During the time of Abu Bakr, became a murtad, and then Abu Bakr, he was captured by Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, who Islam was presented to him. He became a Muslim, and Abu Bakr actually married his sister to him. He fought alongside Ali in the Battle of Sittin, died 40 days after, and his janazah was led by Hassan ibn Ali radiallahu ta'ala. There is ikhtilaf on whether a person, he became a Muslim and he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dead, meaning that they were doing the janazah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dead. Whether that will be seen as suhbah or not, majority of the scholars, they say that is not seen as suhbah. Then there is another question that arises here, that if these former sahabis who did not become Muslim, like Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, or we know Walid ibn Mughira became a Muslim on the day of Fatah Makkah, right? He became a Muslim, and he also narrates hadith. Yeah, and then later on he went to the Byzantine, and then he became a Christian, right? Whether the hadiths that he narrated, whether they're accepted or not. So that's a question. We find some of these hadiths in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, where Imam Ahmad in the Isnad narrates from Walid ibn Mughira. So there's an entire ikhtilaf around that as well, which is quite interesting. We're not going to go into that now. Yeah. Now, Imam Ibn Hajar, now he's going to analyze this definition of his. وَمَنْ لَقِيَ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مُؤْمِنًا بِهِ وَمَاتَ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ وَلَوْ تَخَلَّتْ رِدَّةٌ فِي الْأَصْحِيِّ. So he says, وَالتَّعْبِيرُ بِاللُّقِيِّ أَوْلَى مِنْ قَوْلِ بَعْضِهِمْ الصَّحَابِيُّ مَنْ رَأَى النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So he's basically saying that my ta'bir of liqa is better than min qawli ba'dihim, than words of some of them, who says as-sahabi, the sahabi is the one who saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, li'annahu yukhrij ibn ummi maktumin wa nahwuhu min al-umyan wa hum sahabatun bila taraddudin. Because if you say man ra'a an-nabiy sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that excludes Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktum and other blind ashab who definitely without a doubt were sahabis. But I think this is not a very strong argument, because the same argument can be made about Imam Ibn Hajar, which you made, that do they need to meet again? And then Imam Ibn Hajar is explaining himself, no. By liqa, by meeting, I mean it's more general, it's more generic. You know, it's that's just a word, but actually it's more shumul. So somebody can say, as-sahabi man ra'a an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can say, well, no, by ru'ya, I mean general. But it also includes those who can't see and those who are in mujalasa and mumasha. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So really, it's really no bother here, actually, because Imam Ibn Hajar is explaining himself. The person who says man ra'a an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can also explain himself, unless he basically believes that only if you see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with your eyes, right? Then you have to say, oh, what about you see the Prophet ﷺ in Ru'ya? What about if you see the Prophet ﷺ in Kashf? You know, there's all of those questions come up as well. The next, وَالْلُقِيُّ فِي هَذَا التَّعَرِيفِ كَالْجِنْسِ وَقَوْلِ مُؤْمِنًا بِهِ كَالْفَصْلِ. So here, he is basically doing mantiq, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in mantiq, you basically have two things. You have jins.
Mm-hmm.
Fasal.
Mm-hmm.
Just 1 minute. What I need to do is bring this program up so that it doesn't mess up. Okay. Jins, Fasal, and
come on. Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, my whiteboard has gone because the university, this is a university laptop, and the university does not allow you to download any kind of softwares, so I can't access it at the moment, so I have to use the web version, which is not, you can see that it's messing around. So so jins basically is what in English is known as the genus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Let's see if this works better. Sorry about this. Oh. Jins. Fasal. It's not brilliant, but it's good. So jins is basically what we call the generic type. The generic, fossil is the specific, and no' is basically the resultant type. We just call it type. So, for example, if you got hayawan,
mm-hmm.
natiq equals insan. Insan, hayawan is jins, natiq is fasal, and this is noah. is the nu' is the resultant of the jins and fasl. So hayawan is a generic category. You can have so many different types of things that can be included in hayawan. That's why it's called jins. Natiq is a fasl. Fasl basically means separation. It separates a particular, specifies a particular type of haiwan as opposed to others. So when we say haiwan natiq, which is insan, we are basically saying, well, it's not haiwan sahil. It's not a neighing animal, i.e. a horse. It's not haiwan something else. It's not haiwan muftaris. It's not a haiwan of prey. So by saying natiq, we specify it. So Imam Ibn Hajar is saying here, when I say al-luqiyu fi hadha ta'rif kal-jinsi wa qawli mu'minan bihi kal-fasl. So if we go back to this, Al-Luqi is jins. And then jins. And then mu'minan bihi or mu'minan. And then plus bihi. This is fossil one. And this is, can you see this?
Yes.
This is fossil two. What that basically means is when you say al-Luqi, right, then what is the jins here? Means that, and does it mean that man laqiya an-nabiy sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anyone who meets the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or anyone who sits with the Prophet, or anyone who talks with the Prophet, or anyone who sees the Prophet? So if you're Abu Jahl, Walid ibn Mughira, Umayyah ibn Hisham, all the kuffars, right, would they become sahabi? So in liqa, everyone comes in. So by saying mu'minan, right, that's a fasl, meaning that no, only those who meet him whilst believing in him. Do you see that's a specific?
Right.
Can you see that?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you say bihi, mu'minan bihi, as opposed to anyone who meets him believing bil ghayr. Like, for example, the Christians and the Jews, they do believe, but they believe in other prophets and not the prophet. So that's the fasl too. Does that make sense? So he's basically doing a mantiqi dissection of his own ibarah. وَالْلُقِيُّ فِي هَذَا التَّعَارِفِ كَالْجِنْسِ. Luqi in this ibarat, in this definition, is like jins. وَقَوْلِ مُؤْمِنًا بِهِ كَالْفَصْلِ. And my saying مُؤْمِنًا بِهِ is the specification. يُخْرِجُ مَنْ حَسَلَ لَهُ اللِّقَاءَ الْمَذْكُورِ لَكِنْ فِي حَالِ كَوْنِهِ كَافِرًا. All of those who have met the aforementioned conditions of meeting are excluded whilst they have done this when they are kafirs. So it's excluding kafirs out of that. I mean, this is a very, it's an obvious thing, right? But I mean, he just decided to mention that. وَقَوْلِ بِهِ فَصْلٌ ثَانِي. And his word bihi, mu'minan bihi, is the second specification. Yukhriju man laqiyahu mu'minan lakin bighayrihi min al-anbiya. It excludes, this fasl excludes those who met the Prophet ﷺ in the state of iman, however their iman is on another nabi, not the Prophet ﷺ. Lakin hal yukhriju man laqiyahu mu'minan bi annahu سَيُبْعَثْ وَلَمْ يُدْرِكْ الْبِعْثَ فِيهِ نَزِلْ. So have you understood the second fasal? That Christians and Jews, you know, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَ وَالصَّابِينَ مَنْ آمَنَ مِنْهُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. So there were Jews and Christians. Whilst remaining Jews and Christians, if they met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even somebody can say they still have iman, but not mu'minan bihi, mu'minan bi Isa, or mu'minan bi Musa, or mu'minan bi Dawood. Does that mean, so you have to be believing in the Prophet as well?
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Then there is another opinion. لكن هل يخرج من لقيه مؤمنا. So this fasl, mu'minan bihi, does it exclude those who met the Prophet ﷺ in the state of iman? Mu'minan bihi, does it exclude those who have in the state of mu'minan believing? So not in the state of iman, believing bi annahu sayub'ath, that the Prophet ﷺ will certainly be sent as a prophet, walam yudrik al-bi'tha, but they did not live to see the messengership. Fihi nadharun. So such as Buhayra al-Rahib, such as Waraqa ibn Nawfal, can we say that they are sahabas? Now, there's another question, is whether they are believers. Obviously, if they believed that, and they believed in the previous prophet at that time, and they didn't do shirk, then they are believers. But the question here is not about whether they are believers or not. The question is here is about whether they are sahabi, right? So, right. Obviously, a sahabi is the one who sees the prophet. Okay? And if the Prophet ﷺ hasn't come out yet, if these people are seeing him, then would they be counted as sahabi? That basically hinges on another discussion, aqidah discussion, as to it was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a prophet even when he was a child, or and that at the age of 40 he just manifested himself, or did the Prophet ﷺ's mission and prophethood and nabuwah, he gained this new title at the age of 40. There are different ikhtilaf on this. Some people say the Prophet ﷺ was always a prophet. You know, it's not that at the age of 40 he got his, yeah, he got the mission, but he was still a prophet. He got nabuwah, but he was always a nabi. And this is why in Makkah at the age of 25, when the Prophet ﷺ used to walk, you know, the Hajar and the Shajar used to do salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah. So that hinges on that ikhtilaf, that whether they were actually seeing a prophet or not. Majority of the scholars, this then takes the discussion from the realm of kind of like legal discussions to more kind of Sufi, tasawwufi discussions. Majority of the scholars say, although these people, Waraqa ibn Nawfal and Buhayra al-Rahib, may have been Muslims, but they're surely they're not Sahabi. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. So some scholars would say, like, there is a minority of scholars that would say that people like Waraqa ibn Nawfal and Buhayra were Sahabi.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Because that depends on their definition of the prophet, when he became a prophet.
Got it.
وَقَوْلِي وَمَاتَ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ فَصْلٌ ثَالِثٌ يخرج من ارتد بعد أن لقيه مؤمنا ومات على الردة كعبد الله بن جحش وابن خطل. Right. So here he says من لقي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مؤمنا به ومات على الإسلام. So من لقي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مؤمنا first فصل. So لقي النبي is جنس. Mu'minan bihi first fasal. Mu'minan first fasal is excluding the kuffar who met him. Bihi is second fasal, excluding Christians and Jews and others of other faith. And mata ala al-Islam is the third fasal, which is excluding those who died on ridda. Yeah. Mata ala al-Islam. Those, for example, Abdullah ibn Khattal, Matka Ubaidullah ibn Jahsh, this is Ummi Habiba's, husband, former husband, and after Ubaidullah ibn Jahsh left, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Ummi Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha, and then Ibn Khattal, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Ibn Khattal, that even if Ibn Khattal was hanging onto the cover of the Kaaba on the day of Fatah Makkah, then He's one of those people who the Prophet excluded from not harming him. He said, harm him if you find him. Right? وَقَوْلِي وَلَوْ تَخَلَّلَتْ رِدَّةٌ أي بين لقيه له مؤمنا به وبين موته على الإسلام فإن اسم الصحبة باقنه سواء رجع إلى الإسلام في حياته صلى الله عليه وسلم أم بعده سواء لقيه ثانيا أم لا. That answers your question for the Shafi'is, Hussein. My yes. saying, وَلَوْ تَخَلَّلَتْ رِدَّةٌ أي i.e. Ridda between him meeting the Prophet whilst believing in him and between that person's death, not the Prophet's death, وَبَيْنَ مَوْتِهِ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ and between that person's death in Islam, the suhba still remains with that person, irrelevant of whether he returned back to Islam in the life of the Prophet or after, and irrelevant of whether he saw the Prophet laqiya with all his iterations a second time or not. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because according to them, ridda is not muhbitu suhba. Although ridda is muhbitu al-amal for everyone, but because the daraja and sharaf of suhba is so great, say ridda is not muhbitu suhba if that person dies in Islam. Yeah,
makes sense.
وقولي في الأصحي إشارة إلى الخلاف في المسألة. And my opinion في الأصح. وهو من لقي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مؤمنا به ومات على الإسلام ولو تخللت ردة في الأصحي. He says, my saying الأصح is doing إشارة that there is an اختلاف on this. And but this is the sahih position. Now Mulla Ali Qari takes Qasim ibn Qutlubgha, the sharih of the Hanafi sharih of this book, and the student of Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani to task that fil asahi Mulla Ali Qasim ibn Qutlubgha he's attributed that to the definition of the sahabi, meaning that this is the most sahih opinion about what a sahabi is. There may be other opinions, for example, man ra'a an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yeah, there may be other definitions, but this is the most sahih opinion about what a sahabi is. This is what the istidrak of Mulla Ali Qari on Qasim ibn Qutlubgha. Mulla Ali Qari says that's completely wrong. It's not talking about what the Sahih definition is about the Sahabi. Definition of Sahabi is talking about the Sahih opinion according to him vis-a-vis Ridda and not the entire definition. Does that make sense? Whether yes. Ridda is Muhbitu Suhba, Muhbitu Al-Amal or not, Ibn Hajar says this is the Sahih opinion, and that's what this is associated. The muta'alliq of fi is this whole thing, takhallalat ar-ridda, and not the definition. He takes Qasim ibn Qutlubgha to task for misunderstanding this sentence. Yeah. Lakin hal yukhrij wa mat ala al-Islam. وقولي في الأصح إشارة إلى الخلاف في المسألة ويدل على رجحان الأول. There is إشارة that there is خلاف on this particular issue of ridda being محبط العمل or not. And Imam Ibn Hajar now giving his dalil why he believes that his opinion, which is that the ridda is not muhbitul amal, is the most dominant opinion. وَيَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ رُجْحَانِ الْأَوَّلِ the first position, which is his opinion, قِصَّةُ الْأَشْعَثِ ibn Qais. The story of Ash'ath ibn Qais, I told you he was from Kinda. became a murtad during the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, who was captured by Abu Bakr, became a Muslim, and Abu Bakr gave his sister Umm Farwa to marry. فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ مِمَّنْ إِرْتَدَّ وَأُوتِيَ بِهِ إِلَىٰ أَبِي بَكْرٍ صِدِّيقْ أَسِيرًا. He was one of those who became a murtad. He was brought to Abu Bakr Siddiq as a prisoner. فَعَادَ إِلَىٰ الْإِسْلَامِ فَقَابِلَ مِنْهُ. He reverted back to Islam. Abu Bakr accepted Islam, وَزَوَّجَهُ أُخْتَهُ, and he married his sister to him, Umm Farwa. So these people were ajeeb. Yeah. These people were ajeeb, right? They were so simple. Their lifestyle was like, in the sense, it was very, very simple. Like now, if somebody was to kind of become a murtad, right? He was a Muslim, became a murtad, and then he becomes a Muslim. Would I marry my sister to him? Would I marry my daughter? I would think like 3 times, 10 times. Well, this guy was a murtad, and I'm not going to marry my daughter. But Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, who accepted Islam and gave his sister. These people were very, very, you know, their iman and their lifestyle was very simple. You know, these kind of, a woman got divorced before she finished her iddah. She basically got marriage proposals. You know, there's an entire rulings on not to basically do khitbah ala khitbati akhi, not to do khitbah during, because people were marrying and divorcing was adi. You know, it wasn't such a big deal. وَلَمْ يَتَخَلَّفْ أَحَدٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِهِ فِي الصَّحَابَةِ. This is the dalil that Ash'as ibn Qais became a murtad, and then he became Muslim, and not only became a Muslim, Abu Bakr married his sister to him, and no one left his name out from the mention of Sahaba. وَلَا عَنْ تَخْرِيجِ أَحَادِيثِهِ فِي الْمَسَانِيدِ وَغَيْرِهَا. And no one left out his ahadith in the books of ahadith. Is that okay?
Even the Hanafis didn't leave it out?
No, I think Imam Ibn Hajar is specifically talking about the Muhaddithun, and primarily most of the Muhaddithun are Shafi'i. Yeah, Shafi'i and Maliki.
Got it.
And Shafi'i and Hanbali. Yeah. Tambihan. Two things to be aware of. Number one, La khafa'a bi rujhani rutbati man lazamahu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وقاتل معه أو قتل تحت رأيته على من لم يلازمه. There is no hiding of the privileging and the preponderance of the status of the Sahabi who remained in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and fought alongside him, or has been martyred under his banner, over those who did not keep to his company, أو لم يحضر معه مشهدا, or were not present with him in any incident, وعلى من كلمه يسيرا, and above those who only spoke to him a little bit, أو ماشاه قليلا, or only who walked with him a little bit, أو رآه على بعد, or only saw him from far away, أو في حال الطفولية, وَإِنْ كَانَ شَرْفُ الصُّحْبَةِ حَاسِنًا لِلْجَمِيعِ, or saw him in whilst they were children. Like for example, Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr was only 2 years old when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. وَإِنْ كَانَ شَرْفُ الصُّحْبَةِ حَاسِنًا لِلْجَمِيعِ, even though the virtue of suhba is for all of them. However, if we were to categorize them, the Sahabis, then those who were close to the Prophet ﷺ, fought with him, alongside him, died under his banner, kept to his company, are much more privileged over those who seldom did that or were small. Okay. Now, theoretically speaking, you know, you've read this, that according to the Hanafis, when there is a difference of opinion in the riwayat of two sahabis and they're contradicting each other, we will look at the riwayat of the faqih, and then we'll look at the riwayat of the ghair faqih. If a riwayat goes against the aqal, goes against qiyas, then we will look at the sahabi. if the Sahabi is faqih, then we will accept it even if he goes against the qiyas. But if the Sahabi is not faqih, then we will privilege the qiyas over daruratan, over the khabr wahid. You've come across that, right? So here yes. we have a hierarchy of Sahabis, faqih and ghair faqih. In hadith science, there's actually 12 hierarchies amongst the Sahabis. We only have two amongst the Ahnaf. There's actually 12 hierarchies amongst the Sahabas. The Ashab-e Badr, the Ashab-e Ridwan, the Ashab-e Uhud, the Bay'atul Ridwan, you know. So there's actually 12 categories. Those who were in Fatih Mecca, etc., etc. Those who went to Habasha and died early. So this, if you were to categorize them according to that, then there are actually 12 categories. And theoretically, it's theoretical because if there's supposed to be a contradiction between the riwayat of two Sahabis, then you're supposed to, providing that everything else is not the same, then you're supposed to privilege the Sahabi who is in a higher rutbah than the Sahabi who's in a lower rutbah. But in my kind of experience, I've only found that to be theoretical. Nobody actually follows that through. And a lot of the stuff that we read is very theoretical, and it's not actually followed through. Yeah.
Interesting.
وَمَنْ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْهُمْ سِمَاعٌ مِنْهُ فَحَدِيثُهُ مُرْسَلٌ مِنْ حَيْثُ الرِّوَايَةِ. Then the question arises, what about those Sahabis who did not hear anything from the Prophet ﷺ? They say, okay, these people are still Sahaba. They saw the Prophet ﷺ, but they don't have anything, any sima', any riwayat from the Prophet. So, وَمَنْ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْهُمْ سِمَاعٌ مِنْهُ فَحَدِيثُهُ مُرْسَلٌ مِنْ حَيْثُ الرِّوَايَةِ. And then those who do not have a sima' from the Prophet ﷺ, an audition from the Prophet ﷺ, maybe no audition at all, like for example, Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr might have been too small to remember anything, or some audition and then others didn't. فَحَدِيثُهُ مُرْسَلٌ مِنْ حَيْثُ الرِّوَايَةِ. As from the point of view of transmission, the hadith is mursal, but this is called marasil al-sahabi or mursalat al-sahabi. And we have said mursalat al-sahabi is accepted. The marasil of the sahabi is accepted. One sahabi, a younger sahabi, like for example, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, might say, qala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kada wa kada, but she might be narrating from her father, but she's missing out her father. And she's saying qala nabi sallam directly. The mursalat of the sahabi, although the mursal is a weak hadith according to the muhaddithin, but the mursalat of sahabi is accepted because as-sahaba kulluhum adul. Yeah. Wahum ma'a dhalika ma'duduna fi sahaba lima naluhu min sharafir ru'ya. And despite that, they are also considered amongst the Sahaba لِمَا نَالُوهُ مِنْ شَرَفِ الرُّؤْيَا, because of the sharaf of ru'ya, sharaf of seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they have attained. وَثَانِيهِمَا, and the second one of what? He says تَنْبِيهَان, two things to be aware of. First one is the tarjih, and the second one is يُعْرَفُ كَوْنُهُ صَحَابِيًّا. The question here is كَيْفَ يُعْرَفُ الصَّحَابِي. How do we ascertain that someone is a Sahabi? Number one, بِالتَّوَاتُر, something which is mutawatir. For example, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, whose suhba is mutawatir from the Qur'an. Zayd's suhba is mutawatir from the Qur'an. Ashara Mubashara, they might be mutawatir ma'anawi. So mutawatirin, أو الاستفاضة أو الشهرة, or it's become famous, أو بإخبار بعض الصحابة, or one Sahaba mentioning that this person he has got صحبة, أو بعض ثقات التابعين, or some تابعين mentioned that this person had صحبة. So obvious things. أو بإخباره عن نفسه بأنه صحابي, or a person himself بإخباري عن نفسي بأنه صحابي, that a person himself declares and claims that he is صحابي. This is accepted إذا كانت دعواه ذلك تدخل تحت الإمكان. Yeah. That if the إذا كانت دعواه, if his claim of صحبة is within the realm of possibility. What does that mean? You're saying within the realm of possibility.
I'm guessing it means that it can be ascertained that he was alive during the Prophet's time, and it was possible that he could have met him at some point, yeah, whether in Mecca or Medina. Or,
for example, if a person living in 500 Hijri claims that he's a Sahabi, then that's not taht al-imkan. Yeah, we're not talking about the jinn here. We're talking about the humans. That's not taht al-imkan. But if a person was to, in 100 Hijri, he basically said that I'm a Sahabi, then a Sahabi kullum udul, that is taht al-imkan. But obviously, providing that no one is also contradicting him. Yeah, in 100 Hijri Sahabis, I mean, Abu Tufail is the youngest Sahabi to die, 111 Hijri or something, or 124, I don't remember. So others should also, I mean, if he's lying, then others would testify to that. وَقَدِ اسْتَشْكَلَ هَذَا الْأَخِيرَ جَمَاعَةٌ مِّنْ حَيْثُ إِنَّ دَعْوَهُ ذَلِكَ نَزِيرُ دَعْوَى مَنْ قَالَ أَنَا عَدْلٌ وَيَحْتَاجُ إِلَى التَّأَمُّلِ. Some people have found this last bit to be problematic, min haisu, in the sense that to claim that is the same as claiming that, look at me, I am a trustworthy person. وَيَحْتَاجُ إِلَى تَأَمُّلٍ, and this requires further investigation and further thoughts. See what he says. Yeah, so he says we just need to kind of look at this a bit more and think about it a bit more. But I think Ibn Hajar Asqalani is of the opinion that this person should be accepted, but as long as it's within the realm of possibility and no one else is rejecting or contradicting that. Number three, are there any questions before we move?
No.
Okay. أو تنتهي غاية الإسناد إلى التابعي. Number three is, or the إسناد ends with the تابعي. وهو من لقي الصحابي كذلك. And the تابعي is the one who has met the صحابي in the same manner. In the same manner as in the one who has met the Sahabi in Iman, with Iman, and he says that this is the opinion of whoever, Nafi', etc. وَهَذَا مُتَعَلِّقٌ بِاللُّقِيِّ وَمَا ذُكِرَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَيْدُ الْإِيمَانِ بِهِ فَذَلِكَ خَاصٌ مِنْ نَبِيِّ سَلَّمَ وَهَذَا هُوَ الْمُخْتَارُ خِلَافًا لِمَنْ اشْتَرَى فِي الطَّابِعِ طُولُ. Okay, we will leave this out for next week, inshallah, because there's a bit more discussion here. Is that okay?
Yes.
Quick question. If I've understood correctly, the difference between a mursal and a mawquf is that a mursal, the person says the Prophet ﷺ said or did, etc. Whereas the mawquf, the person, a sahabi is saying something, like his statement,
yep,
or his actions.
Yep. But the thing is that you're confusing two different things. Mursal is a sifat of the isnad. Mawquf is a sifat of the matan. Does that make sense?
No. Sorry, can you explain that?
Okay. Mursal is a sifat of the isnad. It is the status of the isnad. It's got nothing to do with the matan. And mawquf is the status of the matan. So if I was to open this up, as far as the status of the isnad is concerned, we have the mu'allaq. Mu'allaq means the isnad is missing from the middle. Mursal. Mursal means the isnad is missing from the end. Munqati'. Munqati' means the isnad is missing from the middle. Or there are two people who are narrating but not consecutively, and then there is mu'dal, means two people missing and they are consecutively missing. These are sifats or hal of the isnad. Marfu, mawquf, and maqtu are status of the matan. Who is the sayer?
Yeah, okay, understood.
Does that mean marfu is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, mawquf is the sahaba is saying, maqtu' is a tabi'i is saying. Now the reason why I say this is because let's take marfu'. Marfu' means qala rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, irrelevant of whether this isnad was mu'allaq or the isnad was munqati' or the isnad was mu'dal or the isnad was mursal or the isnad was muttasil. We don't comment on the isnad. We're just saying qala rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The isnad can be any of those five, right? It can even be tadlis. It can even be mursal khafi. So that's why they're two different things. Mursal is a sifat of the sifa of the isnad, and marfu, mawqu', maqtu' is a sifat of the author, the one who sits at the end. And that's why later on, there's another terminology is coming, which is the musnad. The musnad is the marfu' hadith, which is muttasil. It takes into consideration both the status of the isnad and the status of the matan. Does that make sense?
It does. So, I guess, yes. Sorry, just follow on question from the quick one. A mawquf is not really a hadith in the technical term, like a hadith being a statement of the Prophet of Islam.
Well, yeah, I mean, depends how wide you define a hadith. Yeah.
Okay.
Because sometimes people define hadith as also the hadith of the Sahabi. Yeah.
I'm guessing they assume that the Sahabi saying or action must have somehow been affected or affected by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing something, whether he says so indirectly or not. Maybe that's, is that why they might consider that still a hadith within a broader definition?
No, so we've spoken about the marfu' hukman, right?
Yeah.
The marfu' hukman is the saying or the doing or the opinion of the sahabi, which we have to assume that it is Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith, right?
Yeah.
This is not what he's talking about. This is talking about when he's purely a sahabi saying something, doing something out of his own volition. Yeah.
And there are scholars who still consider this under the umbrella of hadith?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Barakallahu feek. I will meet you next week, inshallah. Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you so much.
And Umar is always at 7 p.m. GMT. Okay.
Got it.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, I just got an email. I got confused. But thank you.
Just a heads up. In a month's time, the time our UK time will go forward. So we'll let you know ahead of time.
Yeah. Please do, inshallah.
How will it affect you? We will go forward. Or we will be in BST, British Summertime. So
our time changes in right before Ramadan, like 2 days before Ramadan or 3 days on Sunday. It's in March. Our time will change. So I think maybe it's the same time when it changes, or maybe there's...
No. We change on the last week of on the last Sunday of March.
March, yeah.
No, we change like in 2 weeks, right before Ramadan. So
you're going forward, Umar. Your time's going forward.
Well, I think so. When we change, right now it's 3. I think it will be 4. So we'll go an hour forward is when we change.
Okay, so when we change, then it'll align essentially.
It will align. But the other question is, would we want to do this during the month of Ramadan?
Up to you, Maulana.
I don't know. Think about it. We'll talk about it next time, inshallah.
Okay.
Inshallah. Okay.
Okay. As-salamu
alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum.